We start this week 15 years ago, and a London station changed hands.
And you're listening to London's Lighter Touch, Melody FM.
Lord Hanson had owned Melody. It said he set it up to play music that he'd like, so it was fairly sedate back then. This week in 1998, EMAP wrote a cheque for it for £25 million. It's now tripled its audience. BBC local radio grew this week 32 years ago. The location, Northampton, and some very formal continuity.
Welcome to BBC Radio Northampton, the new local radio service for Northamptonshire. And on this first morning, June the 16th, 1982, Radio Northampton begins its service by inviting you to start the day with John Bynan.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Start the Day here on BBC Northampton.
Yes, these were the days when all programmes had a sick tune, didn't they? And all the sick tunes sounded like this.
Let's have a look at some of the stories we're going to be dealing with in the programme this morning. We'll be finding out what local anglers got up to in the dead of night. We talked to the Northampton...
The launch of BBC Radio Northampton this week in 1982. This week in 1920, the Marconi Company was busy in Chelmsford with its radio test transmissions. They were under the call sign MZX. But after filling the hours on air with 1, 2, 3, testing, reading out bits from the paper and reading out railway timetables, as they did, it all got a bit dull. So, Dame Nellie Melba rocks up to take part. She was a huge Australian opera singer. Dame Nellie Melba, live in Chelmsford this week in 1920, at the invitation, it said, of the Daily Mail, who funded her appearance, an early bit of brand integration. Legend has it that when she saw the aerials towering 450 feet into the sky, she said, "I'm not going up there!" And yes, Peach Melba is named after her. Radio 1993 now, and this was the week that saw the BBC announce the resignation of Johnny Beerling. He'd been controller of Radio 1 for 8 years. National Radio
1. I wasn't sad to leave Radio 1 because I wasn't the right person to change it.
You got a friend, the happy sound of Radio 1.
At 55, I wasn't the right person to change it to a young, sharp, contemporary station, and I understand that, so, you know, I wasn't sad about leaving. I was sad about leaving the BBC because I thought I could give another 5 years of running Radio 2.
We're your friends here on Radio 1.
And I could have done to it in 1993 what Jim Moyer did in about 2004.
Johnny Beerling at the end of a Radio 1 era 20 years ago this week. John Peel cried. Liz Forgan broke the news to Radio 1 staff. She was the new MD of radio. And she said to everyone back then that Radio 1 would still always be the biggest station. Even now they were charged with, and I quote, increasing the overall quantity of challenging material on air. At the time, the station's focus was the worrying gap which was emerging between Radio 1 and Radio 2. And one possible solution was making Radio 1 older. The BBC, of course, began with Reith, and he died this week in 1971. He rather liked radio, but was no fan of television. Hear him here being questioned about that horrible new medium.
In practically every home in this country, this thing will be switched on.
Yeah.
And it will occupy, for most of the people, the evening hours. Anything to say about that at all?
It's a potential social menace of the first magnitude.
Lord Reith, who died 42 years ago this week. It's 3 years now since Global Radio announced it was going to halve the number of its local heart stations. 15 heart superstations replaced 33. Two other local stations adopted the heart brand.
This is heart.
Happy birthday, Wimbledon. 20th of June 1927 was when we heard the first radio coverage of the Wimbledon Championship. Captain H.B.T. Wakelam was commentating. He did it very calmly too. The club wasn't very keen on broadcasting from the centre court, but eventually the committee gave in, provided the BBC included the order of the next day's play in each evening's news bulletin for the whole fortnight. This week in 1970, the Conservatives won the election, and one pirate station had campaigned for that victory.
These are facts. Fact. During the last term of office of the Conservative Party, taxation was reduced £2,000,000,000. During this term of office of the Labour Party, taxation has been increased by £6,667,000,000. Fact. Every Labour Prime Minister has devalued the...
RNI, Radio North Sea International Broadcasting, under the Caroline name, this week in 1970. And that election victory paved the way for legislation to bring legal commercial radio to the UK. So, with Steve Orchard buying the CN Group of touch and rugby stations this week 4 years ago, Fortune 1458 launching with easy listening to Manchester 19 years ago, and EMAP agreeing it was going to acquire the remaining shares in Scottish Radio Holdings 8 years ago, those are this week's Radio Moments. David Lloyd, Radio Moments.